Okay. Good everybody. Shavua Tov. Good to see you. Parshas Balosra is a parsha that's chock full of important things to discuss and to talk about. I wanted to talk about one particular issue, but just to set the stage a little bit, because Sefer Bamidbar sort of comes off of Sefer Vayikra, we lose track of where we are just in the realm of the history of the Jewish people. So if you take a look, on page 782, should you wish, the Torah describes us that we find ourselves 1 year out from Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah reports in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayhi Bashana Hashenis Bachodesh Hasheni Be'esr Machodesh. So we are in the second year, in the second month, in the 20th day. So that is the 20th of Iyar. I'm sorry, the 20th of Sivan. So we, and Rashi points out here actually, that the Jewish people, after accepting the Torah at Har Sinai, actually stayed at Har Sinai for close to 12 months. They were encamped at Har Sinai, at Chorev, for 12 months, as the Torah tells us. Bashana Hashenis, Bachodesh Hasheni, Be'esim Bachodesh, Na Leha'onam El Mishkan Ha'edos, the Onan, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory moved from on top of the Mishkan, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Ma'aseh Mimidbar Sinai, So the clouds of glory moved from Mount Sinai, and that meant that it was time for the Jewish people to leave, and then they went on their travels and continued to go toward Midbar Parah. So Rashi just works out the math very simply. If we find ourselves on the 20th of Iyar, Sivan, that means that the Jewish people really stayed at Matan Torah for close to a year, which is quite amazing to think about. And during that year, they learned about the Mishkan, how to erect the Mishkan. The Mishkan was erected. So the Jewish people here, they are, we're after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yamsuf. We are a year out from Matan Torah. And then the Torah goes on to tell us that we are in the perfect position to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. We're preparing. That's really ultimately what was supposed to happen. Immediately following Matan Torah, the Jewish people are scheduled to enter the land of Israel. So much so that the Torah tells us that Moshe invites his father-in-law, Yisro, to join him and his family to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe is perfectly prepared, absolutely ready, invites his father-in-law, Nosim anachnu el hamakom asher amar Hashem oso etein lachem. We are prepared to go to the land that God has chosen. We are excited. We're prepared. We're ready. There's a conversation, dialogue that takes place between Moshe and Yisro. Yisro cordially and politely turns his son-in-law's offer down. He says, I'm going to stay behind. You could go, but we will split ways in a very, very kind way and in a way that is understandable. You go your way. I'm going to go my way. Thank you very much. So everything is set. The Jewish nation is ready, prepared, pivoted itself to enter Eretz Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, things turn awry. And the Torah tells us that there is a string of three sins that takes place. Sin number one is not explicit in the Torah, but Pasuk Lamed Gimel in Perek Yud, page 786, tells us, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shlosh Zaman. They traveled for 3 days. Rashi points out that they didn't really travel 3 days. The amount of time that it took them was 3 days, even though it was a one-day trip. Now, what was wrong? Is there any sin? The Torah doesn't report there was a particular sin that took place there, but really Rashi tells us that the Jewish people ran away from Har Sinai. They were so excited to leave. And Rashi quotes the famous words, "Kitinok shebarech mi beis ha-sefer," very timely, like a child running out of school. They're so excited to leave. They don't look back. They drop their bags and they don't look at it until the first day of school again. That's how the Jewish people left Matan Torah, Har Sinai. They were frightened that they would continue to receive many, many more rules, many mitzvos, mitzvos asei, mitzvos los asei, whatever it was, and therefore they ran away. So the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, are taken to task again, even though in the psukim, you don't see explicitly that being the case. Nonetheless, Rashi points out on this pasuk that they ran away very quickly. And then Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, pasuk 1, Vayhi ha'am kimis onanim. Klal Yisrael begin to complain. Ra be'ozne Hashem. It was evil in the ears of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem vayichar apo. God got very angry. His wrath was flared. Vativar bam eish Hashem batocha b'kzeh machane. And the fire of Hashem burned the Jewish people. It consumed them at the edge of the camp. And here Klal Yisrael began this second sin that began to take place. The Jewish people cried out to Moshe, Vayispala Moshe Lashem, Vatishkaish, the fire began to subside, it died down. But nonetheless, that's not the end of the tale. Because in Pasuk Dalet, the Torah tells us, Vasafsuf, Asher Bikirba Hisavu Taiva. The Asafsuf, the rabble amongst the Jewish people, had an extreme craving, an awesome desire. What was it that they were so desirous about? Vayivchu gam b'nei Yisrael vayomer miachilenu bas. The Jewish people began to cry. Who is going to feed us meat? We remember the fish. We remember all the delicious food that we ate in Mitzrayim. The pasuk tells us. Zacharnu es hadoga asher nochal b'mitzrayim. Es hakishuim, es havatichim, es hachatzim, es habitzalim, es hashumim. We remember all the good food that we ate in Egypt. Free of charge, cucumbers, melons, leek, onions, and garlic. And now, nafshenu yevesha, ein kol bilti al aman enenu. Now we are completely sapped. All we eat is the man. We're upset. We're angry. We're dissatisfied. We're hungry. We want meat. We want fish. We want poultry. We remember how it was with the fresh produce in Egypt. We are dissatisfied. And here Moshe Rabbeinu responds in what seems to be a very different way than he ever has responded to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu has been the leader of Klal Yisrael from the moment that they were in Egypt until this point that he's supposed to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And as I noted, we're a year out of Kabbalah Satorah, a year plus out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael begins to complain bitterly. They run away from Har Sinai. They complain and they complain and they hisavu taiva, they have extreme desires. And Moshe Rabbeinu hears this. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and says, God, what do you want from me? And in the famous Pasuk and series of Pesukim beginning, on Pasuk Yerbeis, Moshe says, Ha'anochi harisi asamazeh? Did I conceive these people? Imanochi ilaretihu? Did I give birth to them? V'chisom re'elai se'ehu bechekecha? That you told me, God, that I should carry them? I should carry the burden of this nation? Kasher yisa ha'omen esayonek? Just like a nursing mother carries her child? Is that my responsibility? Is that what you want from me? Me'ayin li basar, where do you expect me to find meat in the desert? Lases l'chol ha'amazeh, to feed this entire nation. Ki yivku olai lemo t'nulana basar v'nechel, they're crying to me. Give me meat to eat. Lo uchal anochi levadi lases eskol ha'amazeh ki gavir meni. I can't carry the burden of this nation no longer, says Moshe Rabbeinu. It's too hard, it's too heavy, it's too difficult, it's too painful. Vimkacha at Osali, and God, if this is what you expect from me, hargeni na harog, kill me. Imatsasi chen beinech aval ereb erasi. God turns and hears Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, take my life. I'm no longer interested. And if this is how you'll deal with me, says Moshe Rabbeinu to God, kill me now. I can't take it anymore. And Moshe's response, of course, here is shocking. In light of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has been with the people upwards of a year and much longer, if you're including the time that they were in Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu has been their strong leader. Moshe Rabbeinu has been their rock. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person that they saw who brought down the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu has taken them out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu provided them with the Aseres HaMakos. Moshe Rabbeinu was there for Makos Bechoros. Moshe Rabbeinu was there for them to cross the sea. Moshe Rabbeinu told his father just days ago that we are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, come with us. And so quickly, two things change. The Jewish people sort of fall apart. And in a string of these three sins, they run away from Choreh, from Har Sinai. They begin to complain, the Asafsuf Asher Bikirba, then the Misonanim. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, I'm finished. It's a divorce. I no longer want a relationship with you. I can't handle the burden anymore. It's too difficult. It's too hard. It's too heavy. Kill me. Yes, that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu says to God. Hargeini naharog imatsasi chein beinech aval ere b'ra'asi. If you find favor in your eyes, God, let me not see the evil and kill me now. And of course, this raises the question, what occurred? And why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu now all of a sudden says, I'm finished? Now, if you look back, not too far, back in Sefer Shmos and Parshas Kisisa, less than a year ago, or just about a year ago, there's another terrible sin that occurs in the Midbar. The first sin, the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response there is quite different. Almost a polar opposite of Moshe's response here. Moshe Rabbeinu calls and cries out to the God, Vaychal Hashem, calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks God to pray for his people. And Moshe davens for them, and Moshe does everything that he can to make sure that the Jewish people will be saved. What's the difference? Why by the Egel Hazav was Moshe willing, God, these are my people, and I'm going to take care of them. Whatever it is that's necessary, I am going to be their strong leader, and I'm going to be there for them. And if you're not willing to take care of them, erase me from the book that you have written. And just a year later, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm done. I'm finished. Kill me. I'm not interested in leading these people. Not only am I not interested in leaving these people, not only am I not going to resign, but I want you to kill me. What happened? What's the difference between the Chet HaEgel and the Chet of the Misonanim, the Asafsof? If you're to ask, which is worse, which is more difficult, which is more of an egregious sin, I think we would all argue that the Chet HaEgel is much more severe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to smash the Luchos after he saw what the Jewish people did. But why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to take the Jewish people on, to pray for them, and to take care of them and continue to lead them and to give up his rights to be written in the Sefer Torah and the Chamisha Kumshei Torah for his nation, as opposed to hear that that's not the case? What's the difference? What happened here? Why did the Jewish people fall apart? And why is Moshe Rabbeinu not willing to move forward? And why does Moshe Rabbeinu completely divorce himself from his people? Rabbi Soloveitchik has a fascinating insight to answer this question. And he explains that the two sins are categorically different. The Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, emerged as a result of fear. They were scared. They were frightened. Where was their leader? They were lost. Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of Mitzrayim, brought them to Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Har Elokim, for 40 days and 40 nights, and they lost their leader. He was missing. They were frightened. They were panicking. They were scared. Moshe told them that he was going to come back. They miscalculated. And thus, it was from a place of scaredom, from a place of fear, from a place of complete panic, that the Jewish people were forced to sin with a Chet HaEgel. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood his people. He understood his nation, that they weren't rebelling against him and against God, although it was a form of Avodah Zarah. It was idolatry, absolutely. And Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to smash the Luchos. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood that internally and inherently, his people were people who wanted to do the will of Hashem. His people were people who wanted to follow in his path. But as a result of being scared and frightened and fearful and panicking, not knowing where Moshe Rabbeinu was, therefore, that's the reason that the sin occurred. But that's not what occurs here in Parshas Baaloscha 1 year later. Parshas Baaloscha, the chet of the misonanim, the chet of the asafsof is fundamentally and categorically different. And the chet here is one of hedonism, one of taiva, one of desire, one of looking after one's physical needs completely and solely. And that Moshe Rabbeinu could not tolerate because it's antithetical to everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds dear and near. We are a nation that, of course, is understanding that we need to take care of our physical needs. We need to eat, we need to drink, we need to take care of ourselves. But the moment that the Jewish people in its totality only are focused on the physicality, but not just physicality, taiva, as the pasuk says, that's antithetical to everything that we hold strong to. And that Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's it. If you don't appreciate what we, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is all about, then I'm unable to work with you. If your whole focus is going to be, mi yachilenu basar, who's going to feed us meat? Zacharnu es hadog asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam, ves hakishuim, ves avatichim, ves hachatzim, ves habitzalim, ves hashumim. If all you can remember is the fresh produce, the meat and the fish and the poultry in Egypt, and you're not satisfied with the man that is in food, that is spiritual, that's being fed to you by God, then I'm unable to serve as your leader, and you, Klal Yisrael, are unable to enter Eretz Yisrael because the land of Israel is a land of God. It's the ultimate spiritual home for the people. And if that's not something that you could appreciate now, and you don't connect with the man, then the land of Eretz Yisrael is not for you. Then you're unable to reach the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to connect with you. Because if your point of connection is the fish, the meat, and the poultry, and your connection is not with the man, then Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to you. Because only a spiritual people can enter the land of Israel. But a people that's totally focused on Daga and Basar, and if that's what your needs are, based upon hedonism, taiva, and complete self-focus, that's not something that I'm able to work with, and therefore Moshe is forced to divorce his people. And of course, this leads to a very, very significant severing in the relationship between God and his people, between Moshe and his people, because of course the next sin that occurs is the chet of the Meraglim, and ultimately this secures Klal Yisrael being in the Midbar for 40 years. So here we are at the cusp of entering Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to complete his mission, his leadership of bringing the Jewish people into Israel. But because Klal Yisrael fall and fail and are solely focused on their guf, on their bodies, and on the basar, she'achalnu b'Mitzrayim, and they're unable to seek out God through the ruchniyastik of food of the man, they're unable to enter Eretz Yisrael, and they're totally focused on themselves, and that's why they have to send the Meraglim to see if there's food to be eaten in Eretz Yisrael. If the warriors, if the people who are living there are going to be able to take care of them, or if they're going to be taken over. And therefore, the Jewish people begin to have a different focus. And as soon as this focus changes, it's all over. And that is the sad ending, really, of Parshas Bahaloscha, which forces us to enter the Midbar and to stay in the Midbar for another 40 years, as opposed to entering immediately. And of course, the question is, how do we fix this? How do we change this? Because of course, the only way we're going to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael is if our focus is changed. The only way we're going to be able to settle, conquer, and to succeed in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see that we are serious, is if there's some sense of change. How do we change this? How does a nation that becomes so focused on taiva, the asafsof, so focused on the basar and on the dog and on the oaf, how do they change themselves, and how do we prepare ourselves to enter Eretz Yisrael? The truth is, taiva, desire, is a very, very strong focus, and it's something that everybody has. However, the question is, what does one do with taiva? What does one do with desire? Everybody desires something. Everybody wants something. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's excited about something. But what does one do with that excitement? And the answer to that question is, excitement really, inherently, and fundamentally is an appropriate thing, is a good thing. But where is it pushed and where is it focused? And if you take a look back from the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha up until the chet of the Asafsof, the Misonanim, everything is all about taiva. Everything is all about desire. And we see an extreme desire that Klal Yisrael has, but not for Gashmias, but actually just the opposite for Ruchnias. If you take a look in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, Rashi notes that there's a juxtaposition between the end of Parshas Naso and the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. The end of Parshas Naso is about the Hakrabas HaNesim, the chiefs, the 12 chiefs of each of the 12 tribes of Israel bring karbanos when they're dedicating the Mishkan. And then Perek Ches Psukim Aleph are all about the menorah, the dedication of the menorah and the lighting of the menorah. And who, of course, lights the menorah? The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Ches Psukim Aleph through Dalet, Daber el Aaron ve'amarta ela Bahaloscha saneros amul p'nei menorah yiru shiva saneros. Aaron HaKohen is charged with the mitzvah to light the menorah. And Rashi, in the first Rashi in all of Parshas Bahaloscha, asks the question, Lama nismacha parshas haMenorah leParshas haNesiim. Why is the parsha of the menorah juxtaposed to the parsha of the Nesiim, to the chiefs, bringing these karbanos. So Rashi explains, Lefi, Kishira Aaron Chanukas HaNesim Chol Shahaz Daito. When Aaron HaKohen saw that the Nesim, the chiefs of the tribe, were offering karbanos, he became saddened. He became melancholy. Shlohaya Imam B'Chanukah Lahu V'lo Shifta wasn't fair that not he and not his nation and his tribe were involved in the Hakrava of the Nesim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and Hashem tells him, Chayecha shalcha gedol mishalem, sha'ata madlik umeitev esenes. Don't worry, Aaron. You'll get something else. You know what you will have? You will be able to light the menorah. So the juxtaposition between Parshas Naso and Parshas Balos was the fact that Aaron was unable to be involved in the Chanukas HaNesim. Aaron was unable to bring the karbanos like his colleagues, the chiefs of each of the 12 tribes. And therefore Hashem tells him, don't worry, you'll get another gift. You'll get another mission, another action, another job, and that will be that you will be the one to light the menorah. What emerges in this Rashi, and what emerges from this Rashi? And look at the words that are used. Lefi kishira Aaron chanuka sanesim cholsha azdaito. Aaron became melancholy. But where was Aaron's desire? Where was his ratzon? Where was his she'ifa? What did he want? Where was his taiva? Where was his desire to be involved with the Chanukah Sanesim? He wanted a place in the Mishkan. He wanted to be involved in the Hakrava Sanesim. He also wanted to be involved in the 12 days of the dedication of the temple through the offerings that were being given. And because he wasn't given that opportunity, he desired more. And Hashem says, I see you want this so badly. I'll give you something else. You know what you will have? You'll have something even greater. You'll have the Chanukas HaMenorah. You'll have the ability to dedicate and to kindle and to light the menorah daily. Thus, you see from the get-go of Parshas Paloska, Aaron HaKohen teaches the Jewish people, do you know how to connect with Hashem? You got to have desire. You got to have a tshuka. You got to have a ratzon. You have to want something very passionately. But passion and desire are a good trait. It's a good midah. But what do you do with desire? Where is it going to be focused? Where is it going to be placed? The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives everybody a heart, a soul, a mind that's able to be fertile, that's able to want, that's able to desire, that's able to look and to search. And the goal is to be able to use that taiva and that tshuka and that ratzon for the appropriate thing and the appropriate things. And therefore, the beginning of Parshas Baloscha begins with this point that the Jewish people desired something. Aaron wanted something. And when Klal Yisrael saw that their leader desired something and saw that Aaron wanted to be involved in the Chanukas HaMishkan and he was unable to, and he was saddened as a result, and he continued to desire it, Hashem saw that, and the relationship became so solidified that Hashem said, I'll give you an even greater job. And it's amazing to note that this which Aaron HaKohen teaches his people continued, because in the very next chapter, Perek Tes, of Parshas Baloscha, we see another segment of the Jewish people that also have a strong desire. They also have a ratzon. They also have a tshuka. And take a look, page 778, chapter 9, Perek Tes. What happens? Here we are, V'edaber Shem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana HaShenis, L'tzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim b'Chodesh HaRishon. In the second year, in the first month from the Exodus, the Jewish people fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. They bring the Korban Pesach. The 14th day of Nisan. 1 year later, the Jewish people offer the Korban Pesach. And the Jewish people bring the Korban Pesach, and they do so perfectly. And then in Pasuk Vav, the Torah tells us, there was a group of Jews that were ritually impure. They were tameh. They were unable to bring the Korban Pesach. Vayikruvu lefnei Moshe v'lefnei Aaron b'yamahu. And they come in front of Moshe and they come in front of Aaron. And what do they say? Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are ritually impure. Lama nigara levilti hikruves Korban Hashem b'moado b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Why should we be left out? Why should we be unable to offer the sacrifice just like the rest of our brethren? Just like their leader Aaron, who was melancholy because he was unable to be involved in the dedication of the Mishkan. Chol Shaz Daito, he was melancholy because he desired more. So too, a strong group, a a very strong part of the Jewish people were unable to bring the Korban Pesach because they were tameim. They come in front of Moshe and Aaron, they say, Lama Nigara, why should we be left out? Levilti Hikriv, as Korban Hashem B'modo, we also want to bring the Korban Pesach. And what emerges from this group is a very strong desire, passion, ratzon, Chuka, Taiva, also to be able to be involved in a ruchnius, in a spiritual moment where the Klal Yisrael were bringing a Korban Pesach and they were left out. And what is Moshe's response? Imdu v'ashma ma'etzav v'shem lachem. Let me ask God. I'm going to ask God what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu was asked a question, was unable to resolve on his own, so he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the next psukim, yes, they can bring it. And of course, what does this refer to? Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni emerges as a result of a group of Jews saying, we want more. We desire more. We're looking for more. We're interested in more. Aaron HaKohen wanted to bring the Karban. The Jewish people, a chelik of Klal Yisrael, wanted to bring the Karban Pesach. They were unable to. But the fascinating thing that emerges is a Kadosh Baruch Hu turns in response to both Aaron and to this group of the Jewish people says, absolutely. I see you have a desire. I see you have a taiva. I see you have a ratzon. I see you want more, you're interested in more. And that concretizes the relation between the Jewish people and God. Therefore, we see taiva, we see tshuka, we see ratzon as a positive thing. And it's being used appropriately. And it doesn't stop here. Because toward the end of Perek Tes, we learn about the Anane HaKavod. And Anane HaKavod, although we spoke about it yesterday, and it speaks to a very, very incredible miracle, at the same time, it wasn't so simple, it wasn't so easy, because the Jewish people had to pack up and had to move very quickly, or sometimes they're in a place there for a very long time, as the Ramban, as the Reb Shimshon Feral Hirsch explains, the very great challenge of the Anane HaKavod, because they found themselves in a very difficult predicament and they were forced to stay in a certain place for a long time, even though the clouds weren't moving, they had to stay there. And sometimes they had to pack their bags very quickly. But how did Klal Yisrael respond? They were so excited, enthusiastic. They got up and they moved very quickly, or they stayed where they were supposed to stay for a very long time. And they reacted and were excited to move, and they got up and they went. Thus, the same taiva, the same tshuka, the same ratzon existed in the entirety of the Jewish nation, beginning with Aaron HaKohen, Chol Shazdaitu, because he couldn't bring the Karbanos, to the other larger segment of the Jewish people who were unable to bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, and then were able to bring Korban Pesach Sheni, and then all of Klal Yisrael were so caught up and were enraptured in the fact that the Jewish people were so excited, so enthusiastic, on such a desirous trip to enter Eretz Yisrael, that whatever it is that Hashem tells me to do, I will do it. It's true on the small level, and it's true on the more larger level, from Aaron to all of Klal Yisrael being able to move. And then, not surprisingly, it's in the very next chapter, in Perek Yud, where that same desire is found. Very strong desire. It's coming from Aaron. It's coming from the Chevra involved in Pesach Sheni. It's coming from all of Klal Yisrael with the Anane HaKavod. But it changes so rapidly and so quickly that all of a sudden the desire shifts from the Anane HaKavod. It shifts from Pesach Sheni. It shifts from Aaron and his Karbanos all of a sudden to food. So quickly one's desire, one's taiva, one's excitement, one's enthusiasm for ruchnius and for spirituality can be changed and can be altered for physicality. And that's the continuity of Parshas Balosra. While on the one hand, it seems to be a very drastic change from the desire of ruchnius of the Anane HaKavod and Pesach Sheni to the desire of food and eating and drinking, it's stemming from the same place, from the same characteristic, from the same heart, from the same soul, and from the same mind that is so desirous. But it changes just an iota. And that's the word that takes us throughout Parshas Bahalosha. Taiva, taiva, taiva. Desire, desire, and more desire. But where is that desire headed? And how is that desire going to be focused? And what will that desire be focused to? And in a very quick turn of events, The desire for Ruchnius, the desire for the Mishkan, the desire for Anan Yaakovot, the desire for the relationship that the Jewish people have with Moshe Rabbeinu and God changes to a physical desire. And it's at that point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to Moshe Rabbeinu and explains to Moshe Rabbeinu, there needs to be a focus that Klal Yisrael can be taken care of the same way that they've been taken care of till now. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm finished. I can't handle it anymore. Kill me. Because at a point where the focus of your life is going to be completely on physical desire, I'm unable to take care of you anymore. I'm unable to be your leader. And thus God turns to Moshe Rabbeinu after Moshe Rabbeinu makes this very strong complaint and tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm finished. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael asher yadata kim zikne ham. Moshe Rabbeinu needs help. He needs 70 elders to be able to educate, to be able to help encourage a nation, to help them focus. And that's Hashem's response to his people and to Moshe. Don't just get caught up on what they're asking for in terms of meat and drink and food and poultry and fish. That's not really what they want. They're looking for a lot more. They're looking for a greater focus and greater desire. But right now, their desire and their taiva has been shifted. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, through the Shivim Zakenim, you'll be able to teach the people what appropriate desire is and what inappropriate desire is. We'll take care of their needs. And it's immediately after that that comes the slav. And the slav is something that's supposed to feed the people, to give them what they need. They need to be taken care of. They need their physical desires to be there. So we have to understand where they are. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives the people the slav, this quail, because that's going to sort of give them what they need at that time, at that moment. They do need to be taken care of physically. So we'll give them a little bit more. The man is not enough for you, so we'll give you the slav. We'll give you the quail. But that should taper their physical desire to allow them to really focus on what the ultimate desire is supposed to be. Thus, what emerges, I believe, from Parshas Balos is a very fascinating, I think, spiritual and psychological analysis. And that is that human beings really desire a lot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us as a person and as a nation that looks for more. We really want something in life. Every human being runs after something, chases after something, desires something. That's how we're built. That's how the human being was arranged and orchestrated, that we should have a desire. But the focus of that desire needs to be placed in the right place. And yes, we need to take care of our physical bodies. They need to be taken care of well. But don't allow that to be the prime desire and focus that you have in life. Because if so, that severs the relationship. And that's what severed the relationship within the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says, at the end of Masechta Shabbos, Chazal say, a person is born in the month or the mazel of Ma'adim. A person who's born in the Chodesh or in the mazel of Ma'adim or of Red will either be a Shochet or a Shofech Damim, or a murderer. How do you understand that, Chazal? What does that mean? That means that a human being has a certain desire and there are things that you could do with it. If a person has that type of streak where you could be a murderer, take that desire, take that trait and use it to become a shochet. Focus it in a different direction. Because every human being has a certain desire. Every certain being is built a certain way. Every certain person has a way that they are going to be able to succeed. And it's a very powerful point, and it's a very powerful trait that you've been given. But you could do two things with it. You could be a murderer, or you could be a shochet. You could be a mohel, even the Gemara says. You could be a mohel, you could be a shochet, or you could be a murderer. It doesn't mean chas v'sham, every shochet and every mohel is a murderer. But the point is that there's a certain tchunas hanefesh that every human being has. There's a certain inherent, natural, incredible passion that a person has for different things. What are you going to do with it? So much so, the Zohar says, "Umala yitzra de'arayas chidvasa de'shmaitza leislai." The desire that a person has for Torah learning exists also as a result of other desires. And we all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechted the Yetzer Hara of Arayos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely destroyed it. That no longer was there a Yetzer Hara for Arayos anymore. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were shechted and Klal Yisrael no longer had a desire, it lost their desire for Torah study. The Jewish people weren't running after Torah anymore because that same desire also existed in Arayus as it did for Torah. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring back the Yetzer Hara for Arayus in order for man to have the passion for Torah study. So very, very powerful point that Chazal are teaching. That so much so the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin at the end of the first chapter, that if you have a Yetzer Hara, Moshchei LeBeis HaMedrash, grab it, draw it to the study hall. How does that work? What does that mean? If your Yetzer Hara comes and tries to capture you, Moshchei LeBeis HaMedrash, grab it, bring it to the Beis HaMedrash. The answer is that we all have desires. We all have things that we want to accomplish, that we want to do, that we want to be able to finish and to complete. But at times, that same tshuka, that same taiva, that same desire is going to grab us to do something else. So when you have that Yetzer Hara, take it to the Beis HaMedrash because it's coming from the very same place. It's coming from the same tchunas hanefesh. Grab it, do something with it, and use it properly. And that's what takes place in Parshas Balozcha, and that's the unbelievable string of events and the sins that occur out of nowhere, seemingly, out of thin air. And Moshe Rabbeinu's complete divorce from his people. And Moshe Rabbeinu is asking to be killed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, no. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, what they're asking for. They need something else. But it's all coming from the same place. It's starting with Aaron HaKohen and his desiring to be involved in the Karbanos of the Nesiim. It's emerging from the desire that the Jewish people had, the Chelek of Klal Yisrael, that was unable to bring the Korban Pesach because they were Tameh. It comes from a people who are so excited to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lechtech, Acharei Baminbar. They followed the Ananiah covenant wherever it went, as hard as it was, because they were excited to do what they were supposed to do. But that desire shifted and changed. And all of a sudden, it became physical. And it emerged. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu to understand and to appreciate this nekuda, this point, this understanding of what the Yetzer is, what Taiva is, what Chuka is, what Ratzon is, and be able to allow Klal Yisrael to focus on it properly. And that will allow them to emerge, to enter Eretz Yisrael properly, to desire a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the fascinating dynamic that exists in Parshas Balozcha. The lesson, I think, and the takeaway for us is to appreciate and to understand the way Chazal understand is that yes, we all have desires, and yes, we all want certain things, but don't completely blunt it. Use it and focus it in the right place and in the right way. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu explains to Kadosh Baruch Hu explains to Moshe, and that's what will allow us ultimately to enter Eretz Yisrael to use this taiva for the right things. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.